Hello and welcome to this week's edition of Tell 'Em Steve Dave, here with BQ.
Hello.
Here with Walt.
Hello.
And I know that at one point we said that every episode should be dedicated to Lindsay. Several times since then we've had other people that we had to shuffle in there, shoehorn in there.
Yeah.
To have the episode dedicated to him. I think she wouldn't mind this week if we dedicated it to Tim.
Yeah.
I think she'd be okay with it.
Yeah, probably. She doesn't have a choice, I guess, but like, yeah, I think she'd be
okay. It is, Lindsay. Sorry.
Yeah, sorry about that, Lindsay.
Yeah, maybe next week. But yes, our dear friend Tim passed away from ALS just yesterday, if I'm not mistaken, which would be, I don't even know what day today is. Today's Wednesday, so it'd be Tuesday morning.
Yeah.
After not a very long,
way thankfully. Sooner than I mean.
Yeah, I was reading up on it and on ALS, Lou Gehrig's disease, and it said that usually the prognosis is like 2 to 4 years.
Yeah.
So he went downhill pretty quickly.
Got accelerated, man.
Yeah, which sucks. Or it's better because you're not suffering the whole time and you're not like watching yourself degenerate. And,
I guess. I would have liked a longer runway of like, I'm okay, you know?
Right,
like,
right. Yeah, well, there was help. Like when we were getting together, the speak and spell kind of thing for him.
Mm-hmm.
Like when we did that, I thought for sure, like, okay, well, he must have a while then, you know, because he's going to have to use this for his speech. That takes a little while.
Yeah.
But yeah, so a lot of Facebook activity I saw, a lot of Twitter activity I saw.
Yeah.
Pictures of Ants with Tim.
People love Tim.
They really did.
Yeah.
And I was thinking about it. I was like, is it possible that his Teflon was even harder than Sunday Jeff's? Because Sunday Jeff is widely beloved. But Tim.
Yeah.
And I said to Troy, who texted Walt and I earlier, I was like, I've never heard anything but anybody say anything negative about the man.
Yeah. 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 It's shocking. you know, he's just a great dude. I was.
And so it was really nice that I saw last night they were putting flowers on Jack's.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. I saw that. Yeah, it was in the paper too.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Or the online paper anyway.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, I think he made a pretty big impact with people like beyond what we know.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, like, because he's been at Jack's forever. So any regular customer of Jack's goes in there and sees him and
yeah,
I was like, hey, it's Tim.
How long was he at Jack's before he left?
I think he started in the 90s.
Wow.
Yeah. He was there a long time.
Yeah.
Foof.
Yeah. It's a long stretch.
Yeah.
Tim, the record store clerk.
I went online. I looked, you know, I went on to, you know, if I guess we posted that cartoon of him.
Mm-hmm.
And man, the comments underneath it were like, you know, I hope his family is getting a chance to see it.
Yeah.
Because it was one great thing after another.
Yeah, I saw one of the comments was from his stepdaughter.
I think I did see that. Yes, yes.
Yeah, had a lot of likes.
Right.
She was basically like, he really loved being a part of this, you know, the Tell 'Em Steve Dave, and he loved it. Well, the Ants particularly.
Right.
Because everybody would go and see him. Even when I go to Red Bank, it's like, if I go to Red Bank, I would stop in and see him.
Yeah. ALS, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. My God.
There's like, not a fucking thing in the world you can do about
it. It's not a fucking thing. I mean, you're driving out here and you're just like, you know, and it's like you guys knew him better than I did. I was still pretty shook when I heard, you know what I mean? So I was feeling really bad for you guys. you know what I mean? Like, you like my boys. I know you guys were both like close. I know Walt, you were very close to him and like.
Yeah. Well, I knew him. I knew of him long before I asked him to be on involved with TSD. And I told him, I got to tell him before that, I wish I had asked him to be a part of it sooner, but I was intimidated by his look, which was not anywhere near like the inner, you know.
Right.
He looked to me like a biker with all his tattoos, and he looked like he stepped off out of the Hell's Angels.
Yeah.
At one point, like, he was like, I fucking give up. Bring on the tattoos.
And I was so intimidated. He was a very large man too. And I was always like, well, I'm going to go ask him if he'd be involved, because I would talk to him a little bit when he came into the stash, or I would talk to him if I was in Jack's. And I didn't know he had like a sense of humor or anything, long, yeah. You know, but I, like, so, but when I did, feelings. When I did, yeah. When I did talk thoughts. To him, I realized how knowledgeable he was and how great he would be. But I on Mike and how, like, I was like, oh, this guy would be great. But I always was like, oh, he'll think it's stupid, or he'll think it's goofy. And I was so intimidated to go over there and ask him.
And he's not lying. I remember all these reservations and him voicing them.
Yeah. And then when, you know, to get to know him through all, you know, all the projects he was involved with us, like, I couldn't have been more wrong about, you know, he may have looked like a tough biker, but he certainly was just a...
He was like a humble, aw shucks kind of guy.
Yeah.
You know, like, he didn't, like, even if you complimented him, he's like, oh, well, it's okay.
Like, he didn't have any ounce of, like, that, what I thought he would, like, perception of him being, like, this tough, not that he wasn't, I'm just saying, like, this, like, he looked like he would rather, like, he would just as soon as, like, run you over on his motorcycle than want to talk on mic. Mm-hmm. To me, that's what I always thought. Yeah. That's what he looked like. But, yeah, I couldn't have been more wrong. And I have every text that, you know, on my phone with him. And I look back and I asked him in 2018 to be on PPP, Purveyors, Posers, and Playlists. And I even write in the thing, I was like, and I looked back at the text, I was like, I danced around it for like, I'm doing this thing. I'd like you to be involved. Would you want to be involved? It's, you know, you have to like judge songs. And he was like, yeah, I guess, sure. And any time after that, like, he tackled any number of goofy, ridiculous scenarios that I would ask him, if, like, hey, would you do this? Without hesitation, maybe a little hesitation.
Yeah, like, I was going to say, like, I liked the hesitation. Part of him that was like, this is stupid, let's do this. Like, I like that part of him, you know, where he's like, I can't believe I'm involved. Like, you would see it on his face.
I mean, I think back to one of the stupidest things I asked him to do, but came out so good, as we did this music video where everybody in Tesdy Town dressed up in a rubber kaiju costume.
Yeah.
For something I was working on. And I asked him to come down and get into this ridiculous rubber monster suit and play guitar with a real guitar.
Yeah.
And I know he's not that kind of guy that was like, so I need you to just stand in front of the green screen by yourself and do this and act like you're rocking out and he was definitely self-conscious about it.
Yeah.
But I look back in that video, he's the only one out of all of us that doesn't look like a complete and utter dork, even in the rubber suit. He moved and acted like a rock star. Like, he looks cool. Oh, playing the guitar and doing that. And that, it feels like that was just yesterday.
Yeah.
It just feels like there's no way.
Yeah.
And then, my God, then when I asked him, because, you know, how awesome he was on Purveyors, I was like, I have this other thing I'd like to bounce off you, which was the Kiss one.
Yeah.
And I remember telling him what I wanted to do with it. And, first he said, I don't like Kiss.
Yeah.
I was like, that's great. I'd love to have
it. Now I got two of them.
And I was like, I don't care that you don't like Kiss. I was like, I just want somebody with your knowledge and your humor, because it was a different type of humor. Like, it was, I guess it was kind of like sarcastic, but never jaded, though.
Right. You know, self-effacing.
You know, very, like, his jokes were, like, he owned it. Like, nobody else would say the jokes that he made. Like, and I don't know, it's just, But I remember telling him that we're going to do, I wanted to do the Kiss one, and he said, okay, I'll do it. And initially, then I had to text him. I had to text. I was like, I have this idea. I hope you're up for it. But every episode I want to do in full white makeup, face paint, and we'll do it. And before we decided to do masks, then I was like, well, masks will be a lot easier. But he was like, okay. I go, I'll do it.
Yeah.
Anything he was up for, and did it with the utmost, like, he respected the most ridiculous proposition from me.
Great as that.
And did it with amazing effort. Like, he wanted it to be good. Yeah.
Yeah, man. He, I remember when I, you know, we did the PPP, and I was like, when he would pick my song as the winner, it felt like I really won something. You know what I mean? Like it felt like
Tim.
Yeah. You're like, oh man, like I want Tim to agree with me.
I know exactly the way you feel, because there were some times when we were on PPP and it was like right on the fucking bubble, like whether or not my team was going to win. And like when he was like, oh yeah, I like Brian's song better, I'm like, oh my God.
Yeah, there was something to it.
Yeah,
it was great.
I remember after the first time I lost a PPP round and I kind of went into like the sore loser mode. Yeah. He left. I think it was the rap one with Who Let the Dogs Out.
Mm-hmm.
He left the recording rather abruptly after we were done.
Okay.
And he texted me later and was like, hey, man, I hope you're not mad at me. I know you were pretty upset with losing. And I was like, no, bro. I was like, that's not real. It's not real. I go, I'm not mad. I go, you were awesome. And he was really taken aback, I guess, that I got kind of like threw a little tantrum on Mike that I lost. But he didn't.
He didn't get
and
it.
And then after that, he got it. And I was like, dude, it's never serious. I don't, like, I'm not being, you know, that was all an act. And after that, he didn't have any reservations about shitting on any of my selections.
But when he first showed up, he was just like, he was like almost aghast at the way we were treating each other.
Yeah.
Like he's like, I've never seen people like this before.
I remember you telling that.
Like, oh, this is going to be a fun game. Like, you suck. Like,
they're fucking tearing each other apart.
I was looking back through some of the texts, and do you remember the Picnic Olympics that we did?
Yeah.
I asked him to be a part of that. I don't even know what year that was. Yeah. It was a while ago, but
he was good at it too. Like, he was pretty fucking good on that field.
He initially said he didn't want to do it. He felt like it wasn't his thing. You know, I was like, well, we're going to play this. We're going to do this. Yeah. We're going to do this. He's like, no. And I was like, are you sure? And he's like, all right, I'll come. But then I found out later that he almost didn't come. He actually wrote a text. He told me he had a really great time after the Picnic Olympics and how much fun it was. But he said he was going to text me that morning and bow out because he just didn't think.
Wow.
And I'm so glad that he came and did that, because that was an awesome afternoon.
And he was one of the – he excelled on the field, like, in a way that
– But that would have been like his first – maybe like his first exposure to everybody. So it was kind of like I think he felt a little self-conscious because he knew me and Bri, but he didn't know the rest of the crew that was involved in everything. So – you know, for him to come out and have a good time. And, you know, I saw the text about how, you know, how much he enjoyed that afternoon.
Wow, man. I'm glad he was part of this. You know what I mean? Like, he just, it's so, I mean, like.
Walt has an ability to pick out ringers.
He sure does, doesn't he? You know? Yeah.
Like, anybody he brings over to Tuesday Town, you're like, all right, this guy's okay.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I mean, I mean, my last one may have been questionable.
That's true,
The jury's out on Mark, from Jersey Coin, but he's still warming people over.
Yeah, an unusual L for Flanagan.
Oh, man.
I was talking to Jimmy last night, and I was telling him, because he asked me, you know, about the Kiss series that we did, and we have six unreleased Kiss episodes, and I know they're in the last three that we did, he did after getting his diagnosis.
Okay.
And so it's for him to make that, you know, what he's dealing with, he found the time to come down and do that.
Yeah.
He wanted to finish it.
It was probably Walt too. Like, think about the gift that you know, I don't know. We're all going to start crying, I guess, but like what you gave him was like, that's probably great for him to come down here and do the Kiss pod and laugh and not think about the fucking absolute horror show that he was faced with, you know?
Even just for a little bit.
Yeah. Like if you hadn't involved him in, like, this was going to happen to him either way. Right. And it's horrible, but like, it's nice that you were able to give him, because people loved him. And I think Tim really enjoyed being a part of this. Like, I think it brought something to him that maybe he wasn't even expecting.
Yeah.
You know, like, who the fuck at his age expects to suddenly become, like, you know.
Yeah, like, people will, like, go out of their way to come see you at work.
Yeah.
Like, just to take a picture with you. And everybody said the same thing. They're like, he was so nice. He gave me and my girlfriends some t-shirts. You know, he gave me a Ribeye Brothers album. Like, he will refuse to accept money for things.
That's,
there's so many accounts of aunts who met him who were blown away by how, you know, cool he was to the listeners when they came in and mentioned that, you know, how much they enjoyed his involvement. But I was telling Jim, I'm like, releasing those episodes will be difficult, but his commitment to, you know, he wanted to finish it. He told me, I want to finish it. Let's knock it out.
Wow.
But I'm like, they're like a gift, but it feels like there's still, with those six, there's actually seven episodes. He was on something, he was called On Time Capsule with Brian Eschel. So there's like seven things, but I said to Jim, I'm like, I want to release them and, you know, because to fulfill, like him asking, you know, saying he wanted to finish it. And it feels like there's, with those seven episodes, there's still more of him to give.
Yeah.
But I don't know if I want that last episode releasing then feels.
That's it.
That's it then. Yeah. You released that last episode.
That's tough, man. Wow, that's heavy, dude. But I think you got to try and look at it from a different angle. You know what I mean? Like, you can't, because you're going to release it, right?
Yeah.
So.
But that last Kiss episode.
Yeah.
That's it then. Like there's still more of Tim.
Right.
Yeah.
And as long as I don't release it.
You're so right. It feels like just yesterday we were in the woods filming the opening to the Kiss thing. It doesn't feel like it was years ago.
Yeah.
You know, and like us dressing up and acting all stupid. And
that was 2019.
Was it? Jesus.
Yeah.
I just rewatched. I rewatched that last night, the opening. It's so fucking funny, too.
Yeah. There's like this part of me that's like, as long as I don't release that last one, there's still something for him to give us.
Right.
There's something still there to look forward to.
That's a tough thought, bud.
Yeah, that is.
You know, that's some deep shit, dude. Like,
I went down to Red Bank the other day, as a matter of fact, and I was walking by Jack's. I was like, oh, shit. Oh, fuck.
Yeah, he's not there.
Yeah, it didn't occur to me in the moment, but then, and I'm not sure where he lives, so I wasn't going to go to his house.
But I think Walt, like what you brought him into is like, we know, we've always known how special this is, what we do here. And you know, for us, you know, I don't know about the rest of the world, but for us, like what it means to us and everything like that. And like, you know, I think a lot of people don't have that. You know what I mean? A lot of people don't get to experience what we get to do here.
No, I mean, it's a unique. I mean, he sent me a text the day before, you know, saying basically what he was saying goodbye, and he was telling how thankful he was that we allowed him to come in and we treated him like family. And oof,
yeah,
I said, well, that was because you were part of the TSD family.
Yeah.
It's just crazy that it could go that fast.
Yeah.
I can't believe it. 6 months.
So many listeners have reached out since we announced, you know, what he was dealing with. And I cannot tell you how many people have dealt with this with relatives and everything. It's not as uncommon as I thought it was.
Yeah, I thought it was really uncommon too. But I read it was like 1 in 400 people
Oh my God.
Which seems like a lot, right?
Sure does. That's crazy.
But
scary.
Yeah.
Yeah, like there was people who said that they struggled with it for a decade. And so for it to go that fast is just stunning. It's like jaw-dropping that it could happen that quick.
Yeah.
And I want to thank, there was a listener who contacted me, and he was a doctor, and he spearheaded us getting the voice program going. Right. I want to thank him, and also all the aunts who volunteered to edit podcast to help with that voice. And if I didn't get, you know, so many, we had more volunteers to edit than we needed. And I hope that I contacted and thanked everybody for at least inquiring, but we had so many, I may have missed a few, but I want to thank anybody who sent an email in to volunteer to edit for Tim's voice project. And of course, everybody who bought the podcast, his benefit podcast on Bandcamp.
We could actually go back like the lost Tim tapes and have like, cause since we have his voice now, make him say all kinds of wild shit.
Yeah. I tried to make a joke with Walt on the phone yesterday. Yeah, it didn't
play.
It did not play at all.
I thought you were, well, it didn't, it felt like it was a real inquiry and I didn't know what to say. You caught me so off guard.
Cause he was saying he was texting with Tim.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, he's going
on Monday.
Yeah, we were both crying. You know, we were, whatever. Will and I were talking, and then there's a pause, and I go, "Did he ask for my number?"
Walt just started like, I didn't say anything for like, I didn't know how to mine that minefield.
I thought he would just start laughing, but there was silence, right. And I was like, "No, Walt, I'm kidding, buddy." I'm like,
and it was like. We didn't record with, unfortunately, his health wasn't, he wasn't up to snuff after he'd finished Kiss to do anything else, but we were still texting and not more than 3 weeks ago, like in the middle of the night, I got a text from him and we just started talking about Kojak and the conversation was so normal. You would never believe that
what he was dealing with. Like, yeah. you wouldn't even believe it, right?
There was no indication. He was cracking jokes. Just like it was a normal evening.
I mean, I would like to say, what else can you do? But I feel like if it were me, in the moment, I would just like, it's all I could think about.
There'd be no Kojak.
No, I would be like, fuck you and fuck Kojak. I'm dying over here.
I'm going to shit on his fucking face. Fuck you, Kojak. I'm dying here.
Yeah. It was just, somehow he made a Kojak joke and I was like, oh, you're a fan? And because I didn't know he was. Yeah. And we started just going at, you know, for like a half hour about Kojak episodes and how much we enjoyed it. And I would text with him again, but in between that and Monday, but not that kind of in depth. Where it just didn't feel like it was like he was sick.
Yeah. But I think that's like, you know, and I keep going back to what I'm saying about like what we have here and what you did by inviting him into us. And I know nothing's going to make you feel better. Like, you know,
I understand.
But like you brought something so good to the guy's life, you know? And like the alternative to what I, you know, texting you about Kojak and having fun, I'm sure is sitting there in that fucking bed worrying about the progression of this. And
right. It's just another day closer. It's just another day closer.
Right. And like, so it's like another thing to even have Walt to text Kojak with. You know, it's crazy because there's not a lot of people he could text Kojak with, even if he was completely healthy. Like, his options are very limited.
Yeah, if he texted me, I would have been like, I've seen it. I can't
new phone,
speak.
Who dis?
Yeah. I can't speak with any, like, real knowledge about it.
Oh, yeah,
except his brother was in it, right?
Oh, Telly Savalas' brother. Yeah, not very good. In it.
Oh, okay.
That's what brother I know about Kojak.
I was like, wait, what?
Tim's brother.
Oh, man, no. It is crazy.
But he did get to, I mean, because he worked on the lights with Magnet, right? Monster Magnet. What, didn't he do the lights for
him? He did a lot of stuff with them. Yeah. With them. I mean, I remember me and you, Brian, went to see, long before we were friends with them, mm-hmm. Magnet was doing a, on, what's it called when it unplugged?
Uh-huh.
An unplugged acoustics performance in Woodbridge at a record store. Mm. And I didn't really know Dave at that point either. I knew of him, but I wouldn't say we were friends. Like, I remember him selling me comics at that point.
Okay.
And I wanted to go. We went up and Tim was playing the bongos on it. And I remember being like, I would still tell him, I'm like, man, I remember that day I saw you doing the bongos. I mean, that was the baddest ass anybody's ever looked doing the bongos. Yeah. I said, like it's hard to look cool and badass playing the bongos. I said, but you did it. Yeah, I said,
it's like him and Matthew McConaughey naked.
I don't know what that is. I think Ricky Ricardo was before you. It's just Ricky Ricardo do it. And then you, I said, are the two baddest asses who ever did bongos. I didn't have the Matthew McConaughey in my repertoire.
You got arrested for bongoing naked.
Oh, what's really?
Yeah, it was years
Texas,
ago.
Really?
He was playing bongo. He was living in Texas, I think Austin. And I just read his book. That's how I know the story, too. And he's playing bongo and he's smoking weed, I guess. And the cops came and arrested him. And they dragged him out of the house naked. Like, they didn't even let him put clothes on and shit like that.
For like some of the most harmless shit you can do, smoking a little weed and playing some bongos. They're like, all right, enough
house.
With you.
Like, why can't you be naked in your own house? But yeah, but Tim out cooled him.
Yeah, he did. I mean, when I asked him to be on the new, I knew he didn't know at the time, but he knew he was dealing with something. And I asked him to be on the Brian Nichelle's time capsule. And he said that, well, I might be dealing with something, and maybe you should ask somebody else. And it's tough because I gave him that, like, I was like, no, I want you to do it. I go, you know that you'll be all right to do it. I gave that kind of like that false, you know.
You're fine.
Yeah.
Do what I need you to do.
I was like, there is nobody else I'd rather have than you on it. I said, you'll be fine. You'll see, and you'll be happy you did it. And I was wrong, no. You know,
I think people first started, like around Christmas, people started first noticing like his voice. And when he was telling me, like, when it first happened, he was talking about having the acid reflux. I thought that was like, because, you know, I had that before and I was like, all right, well, that's not too bad. You know, like you can get that fixed.
It's horrible.
I mean, it's horrible in the moment. Sure. Oh, yeah. There's no worse pain. Yeah. But it's like he can get it fixed. You know, I had no idea. Didn't even dream that it would be so serious.
I don't know who suggested it, but the last Christmas episode, that was a massive room full of Tezzy Town residents. And somebody suggested we take that photo on the stairs.
Yeah.
And I didn't want to take it, but I'm glad we took it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was on the stairs.
I mean, it just seems like fucking, we just did it.
He's at the very top of the stairs. He was like me. He didn't want to take the photo either. I know he didn't want to take it, but he took it.
I'm glad we got it. We got to get that framed in here, I guess.
It's hanging up.
Yeah.
It's hanging up. Yeah, that was the photo that Gidim didn't hang up for like 6 months. But he did. He got it up
and covered it in green screen.
No, it's in the, it's over his desk.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it will never get covered with green screen.
Jesus, man.
Yeah, oof.
I know.
Now, do you know, Walt, do you know if he had like, did the doctors tell him like, look, you can expect to live this long, or did he have no idea really? You never mentioned it to me.
He told me at the Christmas pod, because I told him, I was like, hey, when he was leaving for that night, I was like, I'm going to text you. I said, I have this thing I want to do, because Nichelle had come down and pitched Time Capsule. And when he told me the concept, I was like, the one guy that's got to be on it, I said, is Tim. I mean, he's the perfect person to, it's almost like PPP in a way. You put up things to put in a time capsule and everybody judges.
Yeah, I remember. We played this. I played this with you.
Yeah. And he said, well, I'm not feeling too good right now. I'm dealing with something. But he, at that point, wasn't sure. It really was, as crazy as this sounds, it was the second to last Kiss recording that he knew. Mm. We recorded, he came and recorded two episodes of Kiss. And then we were scheduled, that was for the next day to record the final one. And he knew before that and had told me the prior. And so he knew. Ugh. But he was like, I want to get it done. It'll be nice to have it complete. He it's crazy. Like he would make some gallows humor jokes and he wanted me to promote the Kiss pod. He said he knew that it wasn't a popular one amongst the ants. He said, you could tell, where's that joke at? I copied it, that I might not be around by the time the last Kiss episode airs, but you can promote it as the first podcast series to finish and say it was so grueling that it actually killed one of the podcasters. Just putting it out there, he said.
That's how I like to think I'd be. Yeah.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, yeah.
I don't think I would be, though. I don't know if I could have the ability to separate it and joke about it, but man.
I guess there's
he
just-
did.
Yeah, I mean, unless there isn't, there has to be a moment of acceptance, like, because, like, you grow up, you go through life, and you see these horrible things happen, and you're like, well, that happens to other people. You know, it doesn't happen to you.
Yeah.
You know?
But you talk about, I went back and watched the opening, the Kiss intro last night, too, and it's like, what rhyme or reason is there that the four of us will go into the woods and one of us will get this, though. There was no way to know. Mm-hmm. Like, it was just like a random thing that just boggles your mind. It's like, and I'm walking around Walmart last night, and I'm like, because my wife wanted to run some errands, and I'm like, you know, what am I doing walking around Walmart? I should be, I don't know, what should I be doing, though? What should I be doing? Yeah. It doesn't make any sense.
Death has a way of doing that to people, though. It's like you're like almost by example. You're like, well, I mean, you can only assume Tim could do very limited things in his last days. But taking that, you're like, yeah, like I got to live life to the fullest now, because otherwise, you know, like you never know when it's coming. That's the lesson here. It's like you never know when it's coming.
Yeah.
But I feel like I should be doing something, although I didn't know what it was, other than walking around Walmart, you know, just – earlier in the morning, he, you know, did what he had to do, and I'm walking around Walmart. It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. I guess it's a matter of perspective because, like, you know, it's like when we say, like, you have to appreciate, you know, what you have and like, there are circumstances, probably horrible circumstances, but there are circumstances where you are like, I would do anything to be in Walmart with Deb shopping right now. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Those circumstances are out there. And like where you could sit there and be like, I would fucking give my legs just to be in Walmart with Deb right now. So it might just be about like realizing that like you're doing what you should do, you know, and like just appreciating no matter what you're doing is.
Yeah, no matter how.
No matter what, like
how small it is,
you could say like I'm a fucking walking around Walmart, or you could be like, I love this woman. You know what I mean? This is the love of my life. This is my sweetheart, and I'm with her, and we're healthy, and we have a beautiful grandchild, and I'm in Walmart with her. And
it just feels like I was just telling her, I'm like, I don't know what to do, and it feels like I should do something than just.
Well, maybe it feels that way because you can't
mundane
do anything.
Shopping errand. You know, it's like that's. But I don't, like, what would I don't even know what it is that I think I should be doing. You know, it is like so many fucking crazy, horrible things have happened over the past couple of days in the rest of the world and the country, and it just fucking blows your mind. It's like life just fucking goes on, no matter how horrible shit is.
I was thinking about that when I was driving here, and I got off Parkway, and I was coming around that turn, and I was thinking about Tim, obviously, because, you know, we're driving out here, and I knew we were going to do this, and, you know, this horrible thing just happened, and I was like, and I was looking at the road, and I was like, this is the same road I drove last week. Like, everything's like, just goes on. Exactly what you're saying. Like, you could be like, well, what happens after I die? But you're like, fucking everything. Everything that happened before you died, it just goes on and on and on. And like, it's kind of depressing in some way, kind of freeing in another way. And then you go on a long enough time. I mean, this was what I was thinking, just driving all the days to come here. And I'm like, you're just like, it's like none of it, you know, in the end, you know, the earth will fucking boil away to nothing and we'll all be gone. So what's the best you could hope for? And I guess it's like after you go that people care that you lived, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And sure seems like people care that he lived, you know? It's like, what more could you get? You know, I don't know.
The only thing that sucks is that you can't look down and be like, oh, wow, look how much people cared. Like, you don't know.
Or maybe you can.
Yeah, maybe.
We don't know shit. Like, we don't know anything.
That's true.
Or maybe, like, much like the Dalai Lama, Tim is reborn as a baby. Like, like, we should bring records. What do they bring to the Dalai Lama when, like, they bring, like, three of his possessions? And if the baby picks, like, there's two that are not correct and one that is. And if the baby picks it up, like, it's proof that it's...
Then it's the Dalai Lama?
Yeah, like, maybe we need to get, like, one of Tim's things. Find a little...
A new llama?
Yeah. Llama, you know. Yeah, it's heavy shit, Walt, you know, and I can't imagine what you're going through. Because I don't know, you also don't deal with stuff like this all that often.
No.
Like, last time was Marco, right?
Yeah.
Well, no, your mother-in-law.
Yes, my mom, yeah. Yeah, but it's... You know, we're getting up to that age.
Oh, yeah.
You know, there's no denying. So you're right, though, that, like, you better acknowledge and appreciate things you can still do. Because at one point, you're not going to be able to do them. And hopefully that's a long time from now.
And it's weird how it's a lesson that we have to keep relearning.
Right.
Because I had a captain in my firehouse. Captain Nybro, Gary Nybro, and one of the greatest fucking guys you could ever meet. Like, just fireman, and like, if he could help you, he helped you. And he was at 9/11, and he retired a couple of years back. 6 months after he retired, he was dead from tongue cancer. 9/11 related tongue cancer. And this is a guy that I worked with 24 hours, you know, a shift, and helped him with a lot of stuff personally. And you learn that lesson then, and then, like, you forget.
Yep.
Yeah.
You just forget. It's like, you know, and...
Well, that's life going on.
That's life going on.
You just can't obsess. No matter how close you were to the person, you can't obsess on it nonstop. Otherwise, you're done for.
Yeah, but I wish we were better at holding on to...
Yeah.
The silver lining.
Oh, mm-hmm. Holding on to the meaning and holding on to it, not allowing that to fade and letting little stupid shit affect you when you know that shit's meaningless. But, you know, that shit that the everyday to day mundane shit that annoys you or puts you in a bad mood means nothing.
It's nothing.
It means nothing.
And there's that saying, like, if there's that saying, right? Like, if you're healthy, you have a million problems. If you're sick, you have one problem, you know? Yeah. And it's like, it's
true.
It just sucks. You got to get sick to realize it, or someone that you care about has to do, you know, go out like this for you to realize it. But man, I don't know. But we're also, the three of us are also like, cynical dudes, you know what I mean? Like, it's hard to keep us on a positive, like loving hook, you know? Sometimes I think.
Yeah, I don't want that, though, to, you know, you struggle, you don't want that to happen. I'm not going to allow little stupid shit bother me or affect me and realize that it's so trivial and so meaningless, but eventually it'll creep in again.
Yeah.
You know, after a while, and I hope that it doesn't happen.
But I think that's just human nature, right? I mean, like, distance from anything.
You can't walk around an open wound all the time.
Right.
Yeah, but.
Yeah, it's a, I mean, it's a good philosophy. Don't sweat the small stuff. Plenty of books about it.
Yeah.
But God damn it, if it isn't hard sometimes, you know.
I know.
Like just driving down the highway and like some asshole cuts you off. You're like, what the fuck, jerk off?
Yeah.
It might send you into a mood.
Yeah.
You know what Tim loved? MeUndies.
Oh, we're monetizing it.
I got to pay the bills, Tim. I know you're up there looking down. Hey,
Tim didn't work at Jack's for free. He got a paycheck.
He absolutely did.
Oh, man, that's some segue. I was wondering if, and this is going to sound like a joke, but, like, this is one thing that popped in my mind after we spoke the other night, Walt, thinking about Tim, and I was like, I wonder if Jim, I don't know why this popped in my head, but I was like, I wonder if Jimmy the hair guy is going to get a Tim tattoo. It just popped, it just fucking, the thought popped in my head, and I was like,
he is now.
Yeah, maybe, maybe.
You put the pressure on now. If he doesn't, it's like,
he's let me down before, Jimmy.
He got one of Ralph Cirilla from The Stern Show.
Right.
So if he got that, and yeah, he was actually buddies with Tim, yeah, I mean, I think he might do a memorial tattoo.
You're right. He's kind of backed into a corner now.
Thankfully, yeah, getting a tattoo for him is like blowing his nose.
Yeah. He'll do it. Oh, man. Well, Jimmy the Hair Guy, if you want to get it, I'll pay for it, bud.
Remove
because I know how he is about money in his wedding and stuff like that. Mm-hmm, so we can remove that from
that's
him.
That's true. Yeah,
that obstacle out of the way.
Mm-hmm. So what should I do? Should I do these?
Yeah, of course. Okay. Tim would have wanted you to.
He would have.
Yeah.
Okay. We all know summer is amazing, sunshine, road trips, beach days. But can we be honest for a second? It also means one thing: sweat. And if you're not wearing the right underwear, that gets real uncomfortable real fast. And that's why you got to swear by MeUndies. Their micromodal fabric is legit magic, super soft, breathable, and somehow stays cool even when it's 90 and your AC is losing the battle. They've got everything, briefs, boxers, cheeky cuts, bralettes, you name it. Plus, their summer prints are ridiculously fun. Think tropical vibes, popsicles, even pool floaties. Your underwear drawer deserves a vacation, too. They have a cut for every butt with over 20 styles and 100 different colors and prints. They're responsibly sourced. Everybody knows we like that. Problem-free philosophy. If you're not happy with your first pair, it's on them, on MeUndies. And who loves them? More than 30 million pairs sold and 90,000 five-star reviews. MeUndies are an essential summer must-have for every drawer. Right now, as a listener of the show, you can score sizzling summer deals like up to 50% off at MeUndies.com/TESD and enter promo code TESD. That's MeUndies.com/TESD, promo code TESD for up to 50% off. MeUndies, comfort that's made for the summer.
I was so out of sorts today. I got out of the shower and I'm walking around and I let the dog out, and the whole time I'm walking around, I'm like, man, this something feels uncomfortable. Like I can't, like, it feels like I'm wearing like a girdle and I'm like, something's not right. So I go into the bathroom and I look, I got my undies on backwards.
You are fucking in it, Tizzy.
And, you know, I mean, I should have said it was still as comfortable as hell, but you know what? It wasn't. No. You can wear them backwards or frontwards. It's all the same. They're that comfortable in a pair of underwear, but you know what?
Not the case.
If you wear them backwards, it definitely feels weird.
It makes you feel like you're wearing a girdle. Let's see. What do we got here? We got Raycon.
Sorry, my nephew is breaking up with his girlfriend. And
I'm
just trying to help.
How old is he?
He's 16. So it's his first.
That's a tough one.
Yeah, so I'm just trying to.
That's a tough one.
He's got a great rock to get advice from.
Yeah.
No, I'm serious.
Yeah.
You give some of the best consoling advice of anybody I've ever met.
Oh, wow.
That's modern day Q. If you had known 20s Q, giving advice.
That's okay.
Well, who's asking a 20-year-old for advice anyway? Kind of a fucking moron.
Yeah. No, he's lucky to be able have you to talk to.
Thank you.
Did she break up with him or he break up with her?
It sounds like she broke up with him. Yeah, it sounds like a tough one. Sounds like he's going through it.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's all right.
What's the underlying message?
This is developing right now. Oh. I don't have. That's the texts are coming in right now, which is why I'm
okay.
Okay.
You got another one?
I do. I have two more.
Two more. Yeah. Oh, gosh.
I'll knock them out quick. Oh, summer, more warmth, more light, more time to spend outside. Summer is a time to be out and about, enjoying every moment from sun up to sundown, but we all need a sidekick who can keep up so we can enjoy our favorite music, podcasts, and calls in crystal clear sound all day long. And that sidekick is the Everyday Earbuds by Raycon. Raycon's Everyday Earbuds are the perfect summer accessory, whether you're going hard at the gym, enjoying the sun, and taking those work calls outside, or jamming out while barbecuing to your favorite tunes. Enjoy premium audio that goes wherever you do. Raycon's latest model is better than ever with a 32-hour battery life and multi-point connectivity that lets you pair with two devices at once. These earbuds come with active noise cancellation, something difficult to find at such an accessible price point. And their Raycons start at just half the price of other premium audio brands and come in a spectrum of vibrant colors to match your summer vibe. They just asked me if I wanted a new pair. My summer vibe is black.
I was so out of sorts today. I put my Raycons in backwards, stem first. I noticed, I was like, wow, it feels like my ear's bleeding. And sure enough, they were because I put them in backwards. But, you know, it still sounded good.
It still sounded great. At a certain point, we're going to have to start worrying about Walter.
Yeah, putting everything in backwards.
The underwear is true. The Raycon is bullshit. The underwear was definitely true.
Let's see. If you're loving your Raycons, they offer a 30-day happiness guarantee, return policy, no questions asked. So go to buyraycon.com/TESD to get 15% off Raycon's best-selling everyday earbuds. Right now, Raycon is offering 15% off their best-selling everyday earbuds only at buyraycon.com/TESD. That's buyraycon.com/TESD.
Mm.
And then the last one is, it's a Q favorite. It's Factor.
Hey, all right.
Summer is here. More sun, more light, more time to do all the things that make summer so special. And the number one thing you don't want to be doing all summer, spending hours cooking inside. That's where Factor comes in. Factor's chef-crafted, dietitian-approved meals are ready in just 2 minutes, taking the hassle out of eating well. Factor meals arrive fresh and ready to eat, perfect for any active lifestyle over summer and beyond. Factor powers your day, sun up to sundown, with nutritious breakfasts, on-the-go lunches, premium dinners, and guilt-free snacks and desserts. Factor has your whole day covered.
I was so out of sorts today. I was preparing Teddy's lunch and my Factor lunch for me, and I mistakenly gave Teddy the Factor, and I ate his salmon, and I was like, wow, Deb, this Factor may have gone bad.
I thought you were going to say you did it backwards and shoved it up your ass.
I'm not that out of sorts.
You know where the Factor goes.
Actually, I still know where food goes, what hole goes in.
Get started at factormeals.com/TESD50off and use code TESD50off to get 50% off plus free shipping on your first box. That's code TESD50off at factormeals.com/TESD50off for 50% off plus free shipping. Factormeals.com/TESD50off. Oh, wait, what am I reading?
I think it's really fucking sweet that people are putting flowers at Jack's.
Isn't that just really made me feel good I wouldn't have thought of it. It's such a wonderful gesture to go to and put like a picture of him on the sidewalk.
I think I'm gonna take a drive up there after this and look
check
at it.
Check it out.
Yeah. Maybe pick up some flowers on the way in at him. Because you just want people to know that he mattered, you know what I mean? Like this guy was important, you know? And every, I guess, flower on is another testament to that, you know?
Yeah, like...
You want him to have that, you know? Like that showing.
Yeah. Like Walt said earlier, like, it's... Like, we knew that, like, he mattered to us, but, like...
Yeah.
To see the... What's that? What would you call that?
The ripple effect?
No, I mean the display, what would you call it? To see so many people.
Oh, yeah.
Memorial.
So many people come together and be like, we liked him too.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, it shows. Well, he was a Red Bank fixture too, right? I mean, he was like. Oh, wait, you know who we forgot too? Rob Bruce. God rest his soul.
Yeah.
He was really the last one.
Yes, he was. I didn't mean that as a slight to forget him, yeah.
And I was thinking about what you were telling me about the. Tux exchange that you had with him, and I'm like, I keep trying to feel for you, and I'm like, I don't get
it. Devastating to read. I couldn't, like, I was like, okay, I must be dreaming right now. And like I said, he said how he was thankful that, you know, to be a part of TSD and to become friends with me and Brian and all the people that he met. And you guys treated me like family. And I want you to know that. It was just, oh, man.
But like, that's kind of, like, beautiful. Like, that's, I don't know many people who got a chance to tell people.
Right.
How they felt. I wonder if he sent any fuck yous, or is it? Or is it?
That's your mind. That's a cute thought.
There's some fuck yous, I think. Or are you in that moment? You're like, I'm not wasting a second of what I have left on a fuck you. But I personally think I would send a couple of fuck yous. I might even blame some people over text.
I mean, the way the world is today, you could do it. Forget text. You could do it on video. At your own funeral. Be like, okay, just in case you showed up.
I think I would understand if this took you like a good long while to move past, because that's some heavy fucking shit, man. You know, there's no prepping for that. There's no.
I guess there was a little bit. I felt like this is something, but I had heard stories of 10 years.
Right.
And I thought maybe they could slow the progress or the, not progress, what it would be called, slow the.
Progression.
So there was hope that this text would come many, many years down the line, and it wouldn't be so fast. But
my God,
you know, and it's just shocking that it could go that fast.
It's almost like when people don't know that they have things, they last longer. It almost seems like if, you know, you tell somebody like, oh, it turns out you have cancer, it's like, boom, they're gone. You know?
Yeah. Yeah, that's what happened with Captain Eyebrow. It was just like,
yeah,
tongue cancer, gone.
I had a couple neighbors, and I always remember this too. They, you know, the guy worked his whole life. They were going to retire down to Florida. All they cared about was riding bicycles. Mm. It's all these two people cared about, this guy and his wife. And they moved down to Florida. In less than 6 weeks, his wife died, and in less than 3 months, he died.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Well, he was a heavy smoker, man. He used to smoke those filterless cigarettes, those Camels and shit. I can't remember if she smoked or not, but yeah, like just like that fast.
You think you have like decades of bike riding ahead of you?
You think you're going to be riding bikes until your fucking legs fall off.
Yeah.
And the next thing you know, it's like, oh, wait, now my bicycle riding partner is gone? I mean, maybe that's what it is. It just makes you give up, say, fuck it, you know?
I don't want
to ride my bike by myself. But then there are people who, like, their partner dies at, like, 80 and they go and get a girlfriend, you know, or a boyfriend or something.
There might be a different perspective at that age.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I think if you get into those high 80s, low 90s, like, maybe you just have a different perspective on it all. Where you're like, I'm used to it. I don't know. I don't know. Women have to deal with it more than men, right? Because usually it's the dudes dying off.
Usually the dudes dying off, yeah. I remember my grandmother just going through the paper constantly. Like, every one of her friends died before she did.
That's
crazy. Every single one of them. She would look in the paper and be like, oh, so-and-so died. Or she would get a phone call, so-and-so died. But I don't know, like at the end when we went to the hospice, like, it seemed like she was like, fuck this shit. I want out. Yeah.
That was my grandmother. My grandmother was like, I am ready. My grandfather, too, was like, I'm just ready to go.
Yeah.
Which I couldn't understand. I was in my 20s. I'm like, I don't get it. Like, now I'm 49, and I'm like, oh, I'm kind of, I am getting it. I'm getting it.
On a worse day, you might be like, all right, take me.
Man. And he grew up in this area, like, this is Keensburg.
Yeah.
63,
I think.
Man.
Is it natural, you think, to have thoughts of, like, because I remember thinking, like, he's only 63. I'm like, I'm telling to Mary Beth, I'm like, that's 6 years older than me.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like, that could be me.
Yeah. Well,
it's just like, thank fucking Christ. It isn't, but, like, God, the poor bastard with the odds.
Yeah. Know? That's the part that would get me. The odds.
Yeah, the odds.
That's why I say it. It's like we all went into the woods that afternoon, morning, I think we filmed that on a Sunday morning, and one out of the four would get this. And it's like, why? How? Like,
right.
What? Like, why him? Why wasn't he? It's just crazy.
Mm. And then again, there's somebody that's going to win the lottery today. You know, like completely different, like end of the spectrum.
I mean, statistically speaking, you guys who went into the woods are pretty safe from this now, right? Like it's.
Like if statistically one of us was going to get it.
I mean, that
one of us got it.
Right. So.
And even then he was bucking the odds, right? 400-1 or something.
Yeah. So, you know, maybe you could feel good in that way.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just
it's hard to feel good.
Yeah, there's no way to like. It's just so stunning and heartbreaking, man. And it's a good dude. He was a good dude.
Yeah, he was a fucking great guy. That's the thing that really sucks. It's like if it was some asshole that you kind of like a neighbor or something that you're like, oh well, he's not gonna be nice. You know, it's one thing, but like I said, like there was no one who wasn't like Tim's a great guy. They would come back and fucking tell you once they went to Jack's.
Yeah.
What a great guy he was. How nice he was.
Yeah, he was so fucking funny. Like, he was just so, like, sarcastic. Like,
without even trying.
Yeah, like, he just looked at something for what it was. It was like, well, that's fucking what? You know?
Yeah.
The look on his face when, like, he'd be looking to get him say something. Like,
his and Windorf's introduction to get him were two of my favorite moments. Just like, what? Is this a real person?
Windorf, I think the first time Windorf met him, he made the claim that Gidim lost weight by walking in concentric circles in his room. And that line always stuck with me. I'm like, that is so fucking funny. Like, that was when, you know, Gidim was all skinny and shit. Oh, God, that made me laugh. Concentric circles. Yeah. God damn, man.
Yeah, I don't know what else to say. Goodbye, Tim.
Yeah.
I hope there's he's just doing whatever, like seeing all the bands that, you know, that he loved that are no longer here. Just I just hope it's exactly
good.
What you know that you hope it to be.
Yeah. And it might be. Who the fuck knows?
Nobody knows.
You know, the only thing that I've come to realize in my life is, like, if I think I know something, it just means that it's not what I think it is. Like, everything.
I went to lunch with Mary Beth today. She told me with such certainty that this isn't it. She goes, after you die, that's not it. As if she knew.
Yeah.
Like, what do you know, Junior?
Yeah, what do you...
Fucking 30 years old? Little fuckhead. Come to me when you're fucking almost 60 and tell me this shit.
I just feel like if I say there's a heaven, that means there's no heaven. Right, yeah. I'll just get it wrong.
Yeah. Why do you think that, though? Because your perception to me is that you're pretty spot on.
I feel like I don't feel it. I appreciate you saying that. I don't feel that way. And I feel like I don't even know if it's a me thing. I think that the limitations of the human perception and the human mind have locked us into a universe where we just don't really know what the fuck's going on. We don't understand that anything. And it's like how, like, they used to think thunder was like angry gods.
Right.
Like, you know, it's like we're still in that. I think we all live in that, like, you know, like cats could see UV light, right? And see different colors than us and stuff like that. And it's like, that shit is going on constantly around us. Like, everything we can't see and everything we can't hear and there's a whole world that is like just outside of human senses because we've only developed what we need to survive. And it's just like, those are the ones we know about. Like, what are the things that we don't fucking know about that are out there? And that's why it's not really a me thing. I just feel like there's no way for us to fully grasp the universe. We're like, so any guesses that we make have to be wrong because we don't even have fucking a tenth of the information to make these things. We make up God to explain things that we don't understand. And it's comforting to be like, well, sure, there's a reason for all this because we don't understand it, but there's a God above who does understand it. But so that's why I'm saying, like, if I could imagine it as what's going on it's definitely not that. It's just definitely not that. You know what I mean? Because I don't have the information to imagine what it really is, you know?
Right.
So, you know, we boil it down to, well, when you die, do you go on or is it over? It's just like, all right, what are the third options that we don't even fucking know about? What are the fourth, fifth, tenth option that we just don't even have a clue are options because we just don't know anything? So,
yeah, I mean, it depends on who you ask. Like, some people will be like, hey, you're dead in the ground. Other people are like, hey, you're going to be reincarnated.
Okay, those are the two options. Yeah. Like, I either go on or I don't. Like, right, that's it. Yeah. I, you know, I don't know. I don't know. And those options, by the way, were created 10,000 years ago. Like, it's not like these are new options. Like, since we were shitting in fucking holes, you know, in the woods, like, you know, and coming down from the trees, those were the only two options. So there's just no way that we're spot on about it. Like, something else has got to be out there. Nah.
It would be nice, though, to be like one of these hyper-religious people who are like, I know. They're not saying that they think.
Yeah.
Like, I fucking know.
They know.
There must be a source of comfort, you know?
Sure.
You know?
I'm sure.
I don't know.
I know. It's crazy. And it's like all this just cracks open. It's just all in your head, you know, when something like this happens. But it's brutal.
Yeah.
And he's, you know, 62 is no spring chicken, but it's still too young.
Yeah.
It's still too young.
Yeah, it is. It just feels like like it's just too young, like you said.
Like another 20 years easy. Sure. Should have been in that guy's pocket. And, you know.
Just wasn't.
Heartbreaking.
I especially question God when I see things like this past Texas flood, where it's like, not only did it kill a bunch of people, not only did it kill a bunch of kids, but it killed a bunch of kids at a Christian camp. Yeah. Like, if God's not looking out for them, why would he look out for a shitheel like me?
It's a question worth asking, I guess. Yeah. I know, and that shit's just going on. And like, even like this, you know, you see those images of those like starving kids. You know, it's just easy to like just be like, hey, shit's going on the other side of the world. But
yeah.
I don't know. Man. It's hard. You got a snory dog underneath you.
Yeah, he's been very helpful.
Yeah.
He's a therapy dog. Good therapy dog.
Yeah, he doesn't leave my side.
Comfort dog.
It's nice.
Yeah.
He's a good dog.
He's a good dog. He came to your life at the right time.
Oh, yeah, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. We'll, you know, I don't think we'll stop mentioning Tim anytime soon.
No.
Nah.
You know.
No.
He'll be around here.
Yeah, he will be greatly missed. And like I said, I still have this feeling of like he's still kind of here.
Yeah.
Because of those episodes. And It is a kind of somewhat comforting that there's still more of him for us to release. But boy, that last one, man, I don't know.
Reminds me, do you remember in Sopranos when Bobby Bacala's wife died and she had made one last plate of lasagna?
And Janice cooked it.
Yeah, he wouldn't eat it. He's like, it's the last one she made. Like, and he waited a really long time before he ate it.
Yeah, I get that too.
Remember his, I don't know, did he come up with it? Is it unfuckwithable? Was that his, did he coin that?
Who?
Tim?
Tim? I don't know, I never heard it before, so maybe.
Unfuckwithable?
Yeah.
Yeah, I get it. I get what he means.
Yeah, I thought he made it up, or maybe he heard his or, but yeah, I remember, I saw someone used it, like, in a nice little because he had used it to describe something that was perfect, he said.
Oh, wow.
Unfuckwithable is something that's perfect. He used it to describe Slayer. I agree with him.
Oh, that's great.
Have you ever heard that before?
No.
It was the first word I ever heard saying. I don't know if he made it up or not.
I'm going to say he made it up. Why don't we just go with
it? Give it to him.
Let's give it to him, man. Unfuckwithable. I'm going to, I wish there wasn't a curse in it, because I was like, you know, you could buy like bricks that have like things on it. Like, maybe, you know, buy a brick somewhere that says unfuckwithable. It's in the record store guy.
Man. And I was looking back through texts and as he kind of held back when we were playing PPP, because I would have to give him the songs that people were picking beforehand so he could do a little research. He was so brutal to some of these songs, like in between me and the text. And he's like, what the fuck's wrong with this person picking this? He's like, do they have an ear? He goes. but he wasn't as vicious on Mike, and we wouldn't tear him apart. But boy, I was looking back. It was funny how he was much more apt to tear the song apart in text than he was on mic, though.
Oh, that is funny.
Yeah.
I almost wish we could take those Kiss episodes. I know they're not all out yet. I don't know. I'm just talking. And like put them on like cassette and bring them to Jax and sell them there. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? Like and be like a little picture of Tim and be like, you guys didn't know this. Like everybody came in here and loved him, but like he did this. You know what I mean? And like this was you know, part of his legacy. And like this way, people who don't know Tell 'Em Steve Dave or don't know anything about this have the ability to enjoy his work.
It would be. I don't know, though, if Kiss would be okay with the selling. All that trademark music and logos and all the masterware and the costumes. Gene might have a bone to pick with.
He's got
to
find this first, you know?
Yeah, that's just a cease and desist, right?
That's all it is. Yeah.
Well,
Jack, you're probably going to get a letter.
Yeah. Don't freak out.
Something I was working on. It's weird that you had mentioned this. Something I was working on for a long time with BS Jet was we're going to take every episode of the Kiss Pod and release it as a box set and make it look like CDs, but there were DVDs.
Okay.
And BS Jet put me, Bri, Sunday, and Tim inserted into all the albums, like perfectly. Like you're talking, like the artwork is stunning for the most intricate album. Where like if you look at it real fast, you think it's just a normal Kiss album, but it's actually us on the cover.
Yeah,
it's so well done, and that was what I was working on. But since the episodes were never finished, I never, you know, one day I was going to release this. And unfortunately, he didn't get. He got to see the artwork. I would show him the artwork every time a new CD cover came in.
Oh, that's cool.
But we never got the edited versions in time to release it. You know, the box set I wanted to release.
But you think
I'm going to do it.
Yeah, that's.
Yeah, I'm going to do it. Awesome, I mean, man. The artwork is stunning, and he loved it. It looks just like a CD from Kiss, but it's us though.
Wow, that's great, man. This is great, dude.
Mm-hmm. And it?
What do you think?
Yeah.
Send off for Tim.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure he'll come up many more times, but.
Sure.
I think it's, you know. I'm real sorry, guys. I know, you know, I know you guys really were close to him and stuff like that. Well, like, I'm sorry.
Thank you.
Can't imagine.
Tell him Steve Dave.